This is VOA News. I'm David Byrd in Washington. A partial shutdown of the U.S. government appears to be on to continue, that is, until at least next Thursday, after the Senate adjourned Saturday afternoon with no votes planned until December 27th. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said there would be so-called pro forma meetings on Monday, but those usually last only a few minutes before adjourning. McConnell said he could call the Senate back into session at any time if a deal is reached.
Senators will be notified when a vote is scheduled, and in the meantime, the discussions and negotiations continue.
President Donald Trump met with Republican lawmakers at the White House. No Democrats were in the meeting, and no progress was made in the impasse over the president's request for $5 billion for a wall along the Mexican border. More than 800,000 federal employees' jobs have been disrupted, and more than half of those employees are required to work without pay. But New York State is stepping up to make sure that one iconic landmark is not affected by the government shutdown. AP's Julie Walker reports Lady Liberty will be open for business.
The iconic Statue of Liberty was supposed to be shut down, but New York State will foot the $65,000 a day bill to keep Lady Liberty open for thousands of tourists like Catherine Sharp, who just wants lawmakers and the president to do their jobs.
I think it's pretty ridiculous that a bunch of adults can't come to terms and some sort of compromise to keep the country running.
Hundreds of thousands of federal workers will not be paid during the shutdown, even if they have to work. In the past, they were repaid once the government opened. Contract workers, like cleaning crews for federal offices, may not get paid at all. I'm Julie Walker.
This is VOA News. Indonesian officials say at least 20 people have been killed after a tsunami hit the Sunda Strait late Saturday. The Indonesian Disaster Management Agency says at least 165 people were injured and dozens of buildings were damaged. The Pandeglang Strait in West Java saw the highest death toll, with 14 dead and 150 injured. About 43 houses and 9 hotels were severely damaged in that district, as were dozens of vehicles. The number of casualties is expected to rise because officials have not been able to contact all of the areas affected by the tsunami. Indonesian officials say the deadly wave could have been caused by undersea landslides after the Krakatau volcano erupted. The U.S. envoy to the Global Coalition Fighting the Islamic State group has resigned. As AP's Ben Thomas reports, Brett McGurk stepped aside in protest to President Trump's abrupt decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria.
Just 11 days ago, Brett McGurk said it would be reckless to consider the Islamic State group defeated and unwise to bring American forces home. Yesterday, he submitted his resignation letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. In it, he said while the militants are now on the run, the premature withdrawal of American forces from Syria would create the conditions that first gave rise to the Islamic State group. Ben Thomas, Washington.
British police arrested a man and a woman Saturday over the drones that crippled Gatwick Airport and stranded thousands of passengers just days before Christmas. As Lucy Fielder of Reuters reports, the rogue operators shuttered the airport for several days.
Rogue drone operators repeatedly flew onto the airfield, forcing the runways to shut for spells over 3 days, including all of Thursday, inflicting delays and cancellations on at least 120,000 would-be passengers, forcing many to camp out at the airport and to search in desperation for alternative routes to their holidays and Christmas family gatherings. It was the most disruptive drone incursion that has happened at any major airport. Gatwick has reopened, jubilant passengers finally getting on board, but it warns that there will be knock-on disruption.
Lucy Fielder of Reuters. At least 15 people were killed and dozens of others injured in two explosions in Somalia Saturday. AP's Kara Anna reports the blasts were planted for maximum carnage.
Saturday is a business day in Somalia, so lawmakers, other officials, soldiers, even journalists, a high-profile journalist was among those killed, were basically going to work when the bomb went off. A second blast nearby also went off, and then ambulances quickly rushed to the scene.
The Al-Qaeda-linked group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for both explosions. For more on these stories, be sure to visit our website, voanews.com. I'm David Byrd, VOA News.